Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Some of you are back. Yeah. I have a question for you. Those of you that have been on vacation, those of you that are going on vacation, what do you do with your pets? You what? You get somebody else to feed them? I have told that. You trust that person? You do? I have a dog. I have a lot of animals. But my dog, her name is Belle. Her name is really Bella, which means beautiful. And she's my heart. So I don't want just anybody to take care of her. I need somebody that's going to do the job. You think you can do the job? You don't? Some can, some can't? Let me tell you what you're going to have to do now, because she's my heart. My family will tell you. Yeah, she takes care of me. She also takes care of my grandkids. If somebody, yeah, I'm going to show you all this in a minute. But I don't just trust anybody, because she takes care of me. If somebody's going to hurt me, or even my grandbabies,
so
what she does.
Dog that sir? Goes after you through the screen.
She does. She'll bite you.
She's tough.
She will. Mr. Tony, you know my dog.
Yeah, dog about got me.
My dog's got you too?
Almost, yeah.
Ooh, they know my dog. We have to be careful. She didn't invite everybody, just those certain people. Well, to take care of my dog, she really is special to me. First, she's got this special bowl. Actually, she's got three bowls. This bowl and another bowl. She's got a water bowl. Got to make sure she's got to have water. And in that bowl, she's got, you have to give her this. One in the morning, one at night. Now, she's going to get hungry if you don't give it to her. But if she got to have this to snack on all during the day, you put this in the other bowl. She can't just have that one. She's got to have this one. But then at night, you know what she does? She'll come up and she'll poke you with her nose. You know why? She's got special treats. She's got to have one treat every night. Now, if she doesn't like that one, somewhere in here, sir? Well, not yet. She's got another treat. These are little peanut butter cookies. Oh, they're not just peanut butter. They're peanut butter blueberry. Yeah, she's got to have maybe that. But then she loves to play. And you're right. This is her best dog ever. But if she gets tired of that, you're going to have to take her outside and play with the ball. Now, you think you can do all this? Can you take care of my baby? You know what she does? She likes to ride in my truck. Now, maybe you can give her a ride. And when she gets ready to go for a ride, we'll say, got to get dressed. So she gets dressed. She puts her collar on. You might have to have a lead. So she won't bite Brother Alex. Yeah, leash. But then she's got to be combed. This is her comb. It's kind of hard, but she likes it because it rubs her back. Oh, she just falls and asleep, but then she's got another comb. You know what this one does? This one gets the fleas off of her if her medicine don't work. Now, my dog takes a lot of work. I call her my pretty girl. You think you would be able to take care of my dog? You think you could do all that? I could trust you to do all that? Summer, yes.
I can't drive.
You can't drive? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think I'm going to go on vacation because I would worry about her the whole time I was gone. Well, let me tell you about what Jesus says. In the book of John, get all my paraphernalia out of here, he talks to Peter. Now, for the last time, he's come to see his followers, his disciples. And in John, not one time, but three times, you know what he says do? Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, is he talking about real sheep? What's he talking about? He is talking about his people. You're right. He is telling Peter, I'm going to be gone for a while, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to take care of my people. I need you to be the leader. Now, Brother Alex is our leader here in our church. He helps to see that we are fed God's word and that we try to stay on track best we can. But you know what he's telling? Not just Peter, not just Brother Alex. He's telling all his people, all his followers. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus? Yes. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Then you are supposed to feed his sheep. You're to be a leader. How are you going to lead God's followers? That's right. Keep teaching and telling about Jesus. How else? We can pray for each other. If we see somebody that is maybe not doing too well, we can go and we can help them best we can. So if you love Jesus, feed his sheep. Take care of his sheep. It's not hard. It's not as hard as taking care of my puppy dog. Feed my sheep. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Our dear Father, we thank you for our pets. Dear Lord, help us to take care of our pets and our animals. But dear Lord, most of all, help us to take care of your sheep, each other. Help us to pray and hold each other accountable until you come back to be with us again one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Today we're going to talk about grudges. That's not good for some of us, is it? You know, I read this from William H. Walton. It says, to carry a grudge is like being stung to death by one bee. You just keep getting stung, and you just keep getting stung, and every time you think about it, you just keep getting stung, and eventually it kills you. Jay Martin said carrying a grudge is like a run in a stocking. Y'all may not know what that means, like girls or young people, but when you got a run in your stocking, it just only got worse, right? There's no way you're going to get it fixed. Said the only way that you can help a grudge or help a grudge get better is by forgiving. And so we begin our study of the book of Obadiah. Somebody asked me, well, Obadiah's a pretty short book. How are you going to spend the whole summer on it? And I said, I'm going to drag it out. And we can do that, can't we? It's word, God's Word, and God's Word, you could spend months and years on one verse. You really can. And praise God for that. Am I not on? Oh. Now, Obadiah. Obadiah is a book about the danger of grudges. Write that down. Grudges. It's the shortest book in the Old Testament, but don't get all excited. But it begins with a vision of destruction, and it ends with a promise of eventual restoration and triumph. And the destruction is promised to the Edomites. Now, the Edomites are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother. And you remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins, and Esau was the oldest. Esau was supposed to get it all. That's the way it was in biblical times. But Jacob, that old tricky rascal, he tricked him out of all of it, didn't he? He sold his birthright for a bowl full of soup. What's that about? You know, not real swift, you know. And then he tricked him into giving everything else up by pretending to be him, by putting hair all over his arms and going in and fooling his blind father. And so Jacob, you know, there was some bad blood there through all of that. They were bitter enemies throughout history. Now, Edom, and we'll show you some pictures of this next week, but Edom lived in mountainous land, extremely mountainous lands, and they felt very secure there because they had all these big forts built there, and they felt safe from everyone, even from God. But verse 4 in Obadiah says, thou shalt exalt thyself as the eagle up in those mountains, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And the fuss between Jacob and Esau started in the very womb, before they were ever born. Genesis 25, 23 says, the Lord said to her, two countries are in your womb. Two nations will go to their separate ways from your birth. And one nation will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. And that began a struggle, folks, that lasted for 1,500 years. You talk about a grudge, a long grudge. If you carry a grudge against somebody for 1,500 years, you got problems. And that's really what's going on. During the Exodus, for example, you remember the the Israelites went over into Egypt and they became slaves, and God sent Moses, and Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they were coming into the promised land. And in Numbers 20, they came to the land of Edom. And they wanted to go through that land, and they weren't going to do anything. They just wanted to walk through and stay on the highway. But let me read it in Numbers 20, verse 14. It says, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, and he said, this is what your brother Israel says. You know all the hardships we've had. Our ancestors went to Egypt. We lived there for many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our ancestors. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard us and sent a messenger and brought us out of Egypt. And now we're here in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please let us go through your country. We won't go through any of your fields or vineyards or drink any of the water from your wells. We'll stay on the king's highway and never leave it until we pass through your territory. But the Edomites said, you may not pass through our country. If you try, we'll come out and attack you. So the Israelites replied, we'll stay on the main road, and if we or our livestock drink any of your water, we'll pay for it. We want to pass through on foot, that's all. But the Edomites said, you may not pass through. And then, not only that, they came out and attacked Israel with troops. And since the Edomites refused to let Israel go through the territory, they turned around and went a different way. And then, throughout the history of Israel, Edom and Israel were at war. They fought against King Saul. They fought against King David. They fought against King Solomon. And they were defeated. But later, because of the fact that Solomon became an idolater, they gained their freedom again. In 1 Kings 11, it tells about this. And I won't read the whole passage, but basically, Joab went in and David's general and killed every male Edomite, every one of them. So you can see they had some grievances against Israel, and the only one who escaped was this guy from the royal family named Hadad. And Hadad escaped over to Egypt, and Pharaoh became friends with him. In fact, he married Pharaoh's sister-in-law, and their child was being raised by Pharaoh as Pharaoh's own child. And then when David died and Joab died, Hadad heard about it, and he said, I want to go back to my own country. And Pharaoh said, well, don't go back over there. What do you have? You got everything you want here. But he says, no, I want to go back to my country. So he went back to Edom and established that country again. And God allowed it because Solomon had sinned. And they continued throughout their history to hate Israel. In fact, Amos chapter 1, verse 11, he said this. This is what the Lord says, because Edom has committed three crimes and now fourth crime, I will not change my plans. The Edomites pursued their relatives with sword. They refused to show any compassion to them. Their anger was unstoppable, and they refused to control their fury. And we'll read about this in Obadiah. But they failed to help Israel. When Babylon came in and conquered Israel, the Edomites sat over there and just laughed at them. But the last laugh was on them, because eventually the Babylonians came back and they utterly destroyed Edom, totally destroyed Edom. And the whole country disappeared and has never been heard of since. And in this book, Obadiah, Edom is called to account. It was written to the remnant of Israel after the Babylonian captivity. Now, Obadiah, the name, write that down. By the way, write down remnant, kids. And Obadiah means servant of God. And he was from an area around Jerusalem and wrote about the destruction of Jerusalem. But before Edom was destroyed 35 years later. So there's about a 35-year period we know it was written. And it's divided into two parts. Part one of Obadiah is about God's judgment on Edom, and part two is about the coming day of the Lord. But today, I'm getting ready to start my sermon now. We're going to talk about, there are three themes in Obadiah. And we want to talk about these themes because these are things that are important to us today. The first theme is the theme of retribution. Retribution. Retribution has to do with getting even with somebody. How many of y'all have ever had anybody do anything against you? Okay. You at that point, when somebody does something against you, you have to decide, are you going to get even with them or not? You know. And how many times have you ever got, I'm not going to ask, who got even with somebody? Well, we want to talk about this idea, this theme of retribution. Understand this, guys. For the Christian and for Israel and for God's people, it is about God's retribution, not our retribution. Once we give our lives to Jesus, we no longer have the right to get revenge on somebody. We gave up that right. We give up that thing. We give up all of our rights to King Jesus. And in Romans 12, it talks about that. It says, don't pay back people with evil for the evil they do you. Focus your thoughts on those things that are considered noble. And as much as it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, dear friends. Instead, let God's anger take care of it. After all, Scripture says, I alone have the right to take revenge. I will pay back, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you'll make him feel guilty and ashamed. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. You see, God's not like us. Thank goodness. If God was like us and got revenge, every time somebody does something to me, you know, my first instinct is to defend myself and get revenge. But God's not like that. God's interests are pure, and there's a reason for it. If you look in Obadiah verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Over and over and over, Edom has done things to Israel. Now, it's been back and forth, and Israel's going to be punished too, but Edom, it's even the punishment's going to be worse. Notice what he says. He says that, for your violence, shame shall cover thee, and you will be cut off forever. That means you're no longer ever going to be a country, you know. I hear people sometimes say that, you know, Esau, the Arab people, are the descendants of Esau. Well, in a way, they are different from a different branch. But the actual tribe of Edom, Esau, is cut off forever. They cease to become a nation. God did this because of what they did to His people. Now, folks, listen to me. We need to understand that. We need to understand the fact that God is perfectly capable of defending us. And His revenge is a lot better than what anything we could come up with. But God doesn't just do it to be mean. God is pure and just totally. The second theme is loyalty. Loyalty. Proverbs talks a lot about loyalty. A lot of Proverbs about loyalty. Proverbs 17:17, a friend always loves and a brother is born to share trouble. Proverbs 18:24, some friendships do not last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. Now, the sad truth is that many, many times our friends stand up for us more than our family does. It should not be that way. A family should be the closest bonds that you have among all bonds there are. And the fuss between Israel and Edom goes all the way back to Esau and Jacob. And the consequences of their unwillingness to forgive and be true brothers are borne by Esau's descendants. 1,500 years they had. Oh, many times, particularly when Esau was still alive, they would pretend to have, you know, gotten back together and everything, but it wasn't real. And the bitterness and the anger and the frustration of that relationship continued and continued and continued. And then, for thy violence, in verse 10, against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Forever. And the final theme is pride. Pride. Edom's pride is what destroyed it as a nation. Verse 3 of Obadiah says, the pride of thine heart has deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Edom's pride destroyed them as a nation. The Edomites, and I honestly believe even here in our own country, we should remember that pride does go before a destruction. We should remember it as individuals, and I believe, as I said last week, we should remember it as a nation. Proverbs 3:3-4 says, never let go of loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them around your neck. Write them on your heart. If you do this, both God and people will be pleased with you. Loyalty and faithfulness. Loyalty and faithfulness. We have so often, as a church and as individuals and even as a nation, get done and laid aside our loyalty to God and our faithfulness to God. That's exactly what happened here with the Edomites. They knew God. They knew all about God. But they chose to continue in their bitterness 1,500 years. And it came to a head when the Babylonians came in, as we're going to study, as we continue our study, and conquered Israel or Judah, and they stood over there and watched, did not offer to help. Basically, even after the Babylonians left, they came in and attacked the survivors. They literally destroyed everything that was left in Israel. Edom mocked their destruction, and God held them accountable for it. You know, see, God, folks, sees our mockery of other people, too. He sees our slights toward other people, young people in high school and in elementary school. He sees us when we kind of look down our nose at others. He hears our gossip. He hears our little cut-downs. He sees everything. And Obadiah teaches us that in time, God will deal justly with those who seek to harm His people, whether they be His chosen people Israel or real Christians. So, as we do this study, each time as we finish our study, this was the introduction, obviously, I'm going to give you some closing challenges to think about and to pray about this week, to see if God may be challenging you in these areas. The first challenge is to this. To realize this, folks, that retribution is not your job. Write that down. That is not your job. It's God's job. Israel and Edom were like two brothers, Jacob and Esau, who just could not get over it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I have two sisters and a brother. And there have been times, and I know you won't be able to believe this, but there were times when we were growing up when we would get into it. I know none of y'all ever did that with your brothers and sisters, but we actually got into it, and there were times we just didn't get over it. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. How many of you parents can relate to that? It just keeps going and keeps going. What eventually happens? What does the parent do? They end it. They end it. Okay, you're going to keep going with this thing. You're going to keep going with this thing. I am going to end it. And that's the situation where Jacob and Esau, Israel and Edom, and us and other people that are our brothers and sisters, this is what happens. We get into it, and we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going, and God says, I'm going to end it. We need to allow God to take, if there's any vengeance that needs to be done, we need to let Him take that and let it go. And then another challenge is this: loyalty among family is a big deal. It's true in our own families. I think it's true in our church family. I think it's true in the overall Christian community, period. I have discovered in over 40 years of ministry that there is almost nothing that Christians get into a fuss about that has eternal significance. We just mainly get mad because we get our feelings hurt or we don't get our way. And folks, there are times when, yes, as Christians, there are things of eternal significance and we just have to say, okay, we're going to part our ways on this. But if it's not, get over it. And if God needs to whoop somebody, let Him do it. It's not your job. Let it go. Forgive people. Move on. And finally, humble yourself before God and others. Write that down. Edom was destroyed because they refused to humble themselves. And Israel was sent into captivity because they refused to humble themselves. They were both punished. Now, we want to break this down, and we'll talk about Old Testament types. In this scenario, Israel is a type of a Christian. Israel is kind of like the Christian, and Edom's kind of like a type of the non-Christian. Okay? Christians who refuse to humble themselves and submit to God become captured by their sins, and they spend their entire life, unless they repent, in misery of the captivity of bitterness. Why do we turn back to our slavery? Why do we do that? We do not need to put ourselves back into slavery. We need to repent. Non-Christians who refuse to humble themselves and submit to God will go to eternal damnation and hell. So we have this picture here. The Israelites refused to repent and were sent to captivity. But eventually, because they were God's chosen people, they came back to their promised land, the land. Edom, who didn't claim God, refused to repent, and they were utterly destroyed. God provided the answer to both scenarios through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to give us, as Christians, us as non-Christians, an opportunity to come to Him for salvation. And if we come to Him for salvation, then He becomes our Father. God becomes our Father. And then we can depend on Him to take care of all the issues that come up. with Christians and non-Christians. So I encourage you, if you don't know Him, to come to Him for salvation. And Christian, if you know Him, come to Him in humility and repentance. Do not submit yourselves again to the slavery of sin from which He has freed you. He has freed you from this sin of judgmentalism and bitterness and wanting revenge and having to be in control. He's freed you from all of that. And you have given that to Him, and He has control of it, and He can take care of things. But if we keep taking it back on ourselves, we just end up being miserable. And we put ourselves in captivity, just like the Israelites did. Would you bow your heads? Father, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, there may be somebody here that doesn't know You as their Savior. They may be in a position of anger and frustration, definitely in the position of sin. I pray that they would turn from their sins to You in belief in Your Son Jesus, who died on the cross and paid for their sins and rose from the dead, and that they would call upon Him to save them. But Lord, there's probably more often or more than that, there will probably be Christians here, Lord, who have resubjected themselves to this sin and yoke of bitterness and anger and frustration because they want to fix it. They want to make things right. They want to do it all. When in reality, when they made You their Lord, they gave that over to You. Lord, they need to come to repent and change and turn that over to You. That's what this time of invitation is for, Lord. We just pray that if there's anyone here that needs to pray, needs to take care of business with You today, that they would do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Keep your heads.